We're going to learn more now about the Islamist Hamas movement and what led to its unexpected election victory. The U.S. and the European Union have labeled Hamas a terrorist organization. It has carried out more than 60 suicide bombings in Israel since 2000. But in the West Bank and Gaza, many Palestinians see Hamas as a legitimate force combating Israeli occupation, and they see the charities backed by Hamas as models of clean and efficient government. Here's NPR's Eric Westervelt.
A crowd of some 50 Palestinian women, their heads wrapped in scarves, queue up on a cold morning outside a basement door at the Islamic Association of Gaza. These women, all widows or from needy families, are lined up to get one big plastic bottle of olive oil for free. Sadia Murad's husband is disabled. She cares for three kids at home. Murad says she's not sure what she'd do without the regular handouts of food, blankets, school supplies, and clothes she receives from the association.
I depend on this. It's very important. It helps me feed and educate my children and improve their lives. All thanks are to God.
Thanks also to Hamas. In the West, Hamas is better known for deadly suicide bombings and violent rhetoric. In the Palestinian territories, Hamas's popularity is built and sustained in large part on its network of charities, schools, and social service centers. After years helping to provide everything from eyeglasses to clean water, Hamas wrote its promise of clean government to political power. In Gaza and the West Bank, where a weak and bankrupt Palestinian Authority struggles, charities like this have become the main safety net for the dispossessed.
When there is no strong authority or state, like here in Gaza, we take on those responsibilities.
Abdul Qadir Attar is director of the Islamic Association, which runs a massive charitable network across Gaza. He says with an annual budget of $2 million, his association helps some 50,000 Gaza families a year. It gives out food, medicine, even pays for summer camps and collective weddings for impoverished couples. Hamas has seen its aid work complicated by anti-terrorist funding legislation in the U.S. and elsewhere. Many of these laws were strengthened after 9/11 amid evidence some charities were fronts for or were funneling money to terrorists.
The U.S. and Europe have prevented donors from transferring money to some Islamic charities, saying these groups are connected to terrorism. Is it terrorism to provide a poor family with clothes, food, and blankets? Is this terrorism?
Hamas tries to keep a legal wall between the movement and its charities. There are no Hamas emblems or signs here. Our charity supports all Palestinians, Director Attar is quick to say. But everyone in Gaza and the West Bank knows which charities are backed by Hamas. Attar's boss, Dr. Ahmed Bahar, was chairman of the Islamic Association until a few days ago. He stepped down after winning a Hamas seat in parliament. In Gaza City, young workers hammer and shape white and rose-tinted Jerusalem stone as they rebuild a new mosque on the site of an old one. This is the main mosque where Hamas founder Sheikh Ahmed Yassin worshipped, preached, and worked to create what's officially known as the Islamic Resistance Movement. 55-year-old Mahmoud Musa Diri was a confidant of Sheikh Yassin. He points to a stretch of road just some 20 yards from the mosque. The curb and nearby walls are pockmarked and ragged.
Sheikh Yassin had just finished the dawn prayers, the first prayers of the day at the old mosque. He was walking home when the assassination took place.
The 2004 Israeli airstrike killed the Hamas founder. Yassin became a martyr, Diri says, for the, quote, Islamic right to rid Palestine of the Zionists. Winning a stunning 74 seats in the Palestinian parliament last month was seen by Hamas supporters as a crowning achievement for a grassroots group formed by Yassin in 1987 during the first intifada or uprising against Israel. The impoverished refugee camps and streets of Gaza became Hamas's recruiting ground. In addition to its charitable networks, Hamas's education programs have played a central yet often overlooked role in the group's ascendancy. This is one of 43 kindergartens Hamas supports and runs across Gaza. Kids practice counting in a tidy room decorated with pictures of animals and letters. Many impoverished Palestinians can go from kindergarten to college, all subsidized by Hamas. Some Israelis and terrorism experts say these Hamas schools often indoctrinate kids from the earliest age to hate Israelis and revere martyrdom and killing Jews. At Gaza's Islamic University, founded by Hamas, study of the Quran is mandatory. Male and female teaching and study areas are strictly separated by a series of gates and walls. On a recent day, thousands of young men packed the university's main courtyard. It's a victory rally for these Islamist students who played a key role in Hamas's electoral landslide. Several of Hamas's current leaders came from the ranks of student activists here. Many of the university's professors, the dean of students, and other key school officials are all Hamas members. One speaker calls the Hamas win the voice of God and a political earthquake. 19-year-old engineering student Hossam Al-Maroun says he hopes the win permanently reshapes the political culture of the Palestinian territories.
Hamas's most important job now is to unify the Palestinian people under the flag of Islam. We reject all secular ideas, all communist ideas, or any other ideas. Islam is the only way to unify Palestinians.
To the secular nationalists of Fatah, Islam was a strong but not defining feature of the movement. Now the Hamas Islamists have attained real political power with a stated long-term goal of destroying Israel and establishing an Islamic state. That goal is laid out in Hamas's charter. It's a bizarre mix of religious exhortation, anti-Semitism, conspiracy theories, and calls to violence. The charter denounces, quote, Nazi Zionist practices. In one of many examples, Article 22 says that devious Jews are behind the French and communist revolutions, as well as the First and Second World Wars, and that, quote, Freemasons, Rotary Clubs, and Lions Clubs are all fronts for Zionist schemes. Professor Atef Adwan was a political advisor to Hamas's founder, Sheikh Yassin. Adwan is another new Hamas member of parliament. He says Hamas will prove realistic when it comes to exercising power.
We do not hate the Jews as Hamas people. We hate the occupation itself. We should not look all the time to the charter. You know, the charter is something, you know, respected, yes, but we should live our practical life.
But it doesn't appear practical life will mean heeding calls from the West to disarm Hamas's secretive underground military wing. The Izzedine al-Qassam brigades are exactly the kind of group the U.S.-backed Roadmap Peace Plan had in mind when it called for the dismantling of terrorist infrastructure. It's estimated 5,000 members have inflicted more Israeli casualties than any other militant Palestinian group. 57-year-old Dr. Ahmed Bahar, one of Hamas's charter members, says the group's armed wing will remain a vital part of Hamas's future.
The Qassam brigades will not be disarmed as we're resisting occupation. We hope to unite all of the armed factions together with the established security forces to create one army to defend Palestine.
Hamas is now struggling to form a new Palestinian cabinet after surprising even itself with its big win in late January. The defeated Fatah movement so far is balking at joining them in any coalition. Against that backdrop of political uncertainty is continued violence, rocket attacks on Israel and Israeli counterstrikes, as well as kidnappings, shootings, and continued lawlessness across Gaza. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Gaza.